NATO 7 together, although we will have to dispose of them separately. 805 is a resolution, so we will be taking a vote today. 806 and 807 are non-emergency ordinances, which will be moved to second. But we'll hear the presentation on all of them, and we'll take testimony on all of them today. Thank you, Carla.
805, adopt the performance-based parking management manual to establish guidelines for the Bureau of Transportation to manage public parking in the city. 806, rescind resolution number 35486 TRN-3.102 and adopt new parking meter district policy to better manage parking in the city. And 807, adopt new parking pricing and event district policy as outlined in the parking management manual to establish guidelines for managing public parking in the city.
Very good. Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. Today we are bringing the parking management manual forward again as a resolution and two ordinances. The resolution adopts three of the five chapters of the parking management manual to provide consistent guidance for parking time limits, parking management districts, and truck loading zones. These guidelines are based on policies in the transportation system plan and in the comprehensive plan. The two ordinances are for the remaining two chapters of the parking management manual. These chapters fulfill council direction from an April 2016 ordinance directing the Bureau of Transportation to create a plan to implement performance-based pricing. Performance-based pricing. These items before us were revised by PBOT since they were brought before council on June 13th, based on input and suggestions from my council colleagues, as well as public testimony that we received. Mauricio Leclerc, supervising transportation planner, and Melissa McCready, Parking Operations Division Manager, will present the Stakeholder Advisory Committee recommendations for the Parking Management Manual. And then they will also highlight the changes that have been made based on feedback we have received. We greatly appreciate the work of everybody who's been involved in this process. Thank you. Turn it over to Mauricio.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. I'm Mauricio Leclerc, PBAT Planning. We have a brief presentation, and we hope to clarify why we have to do one resolution and two ordinances. So we'll have plenty of opportunity to go through that, starting with this slide. The manual has six chapters with the introduction. Chapter 2, 3, and 6 can be adopted by resolution, non-binding city policy. However, Chapter 4 and 5 regarding rates, setting meter rates, they need to be via ordinances, which is why we're doing it this way. So, and we'll walk you through each of the steps. So that's why we have a resolution and two ordinances. With me is Melissa McCready, as well we have the consultant Rick Williams in the back, as well as the Benson Parking Division Manager. So moving forward, we're following up the resolution 37204, as the Commissioner Saltzman mentioned, but also we wanted to step back a little bit to remind the council that we've been working on parking for many years now. We updated policies in the 2035 Comprehensive Plan, the Transportation System Plan. We developed a citywide parking strategy that laid out the foundation for our work, and we worked very hard with the community on that. Central City 2035 Plan has parking amendments included, mixed-use zones project. Last January, we were here and council adopted the Centers and Corridor Parking Toolkit, and now we're bringing you the performance-based parking management recommendations from the Stakeholder Advisory Committee that, again, followed the resolution that you adopted in April of 2016. So in the years plus that we've been talking about parking, some key themes have emerged, and we've been trying to implement them into policies, and now we're trying to implement them into guiding policy for our how we operate parking in the city and direct directives for parking operations team. So some of the key themes include better use of existing parking, unanimous support, I would say, that existing parking assets sometimes are found underutilized, sometimes because of rates, And therefore, in a growing city, we need to do a better job making sure that we make best use of that scarce asset that we have. Also redefining the role and function of parking in the curb zone. We were here not too long ago in enhanced transit corridors. We may have to have some space on the curb for a bus lane, for example, sometimes a bicycle lane. But when it's parking the appropriate use, we want to make sure that we get the best use of it so that it supports adjacent commercial corridors. And manage parking that we have, you know, again, to achieve the highest and best use. I think I repeated myself a little bit. Secondly there, better on-street parking management. Parking supply is getting tighter, not just in the downtown area here, but also through our commercial districts as redevelopment happens, excuse me. And demand for limited parking spaces increase. So this parking management addresses not just the existing meter areas, but also commercial corridors. And also more demand-responsive management. It is challenging today to adjust parking rates and initiate parking management plans. Council has done it like 7 times since 1970, and it's always been a rate increase. Today we have new technologies, like you see in the picture, but also app applications like Parking Kitty that allows us to have more responsive management of the parking system and better customer experience. So with that in mind, we developed the parking management manual that is before you. So we've also had strong public support through the years. We had direct communication with over 1,000 people and with a strong support, again, for data-driven management. We had the endorsement of several committees to adopt the toolkit and performance-based parking management, including the committee that recommended the rates in 2016, that we went from $1.60 to $2. They went through the existing process, and they said, please, move to performance-based parking management. There's a much better way of doing this than what we had to go through in 2016. So this is where we are today with that resolution. Just to go through that same slide, the first resolution, the resolution talks about chapters 1, 2, 3, and 6. I can briefly cover them. But first, acknowledge the partners. We had a committee, included Portland Business Alliance, and Goloid, Oriental College of Medicine, Pearl District Neighbor Association, Venture Portland, Central East Side, Portlanders for Parking Reform, Portland Downtown Neighbor Association, Portland Freight Committee, and Northwest Portland Parking Group Committee, and Venture Portland, if I did not mention that. We also had outreach. We had an online open house translated into 10 languages, which received many comments in support of data to set rates. We also have received many letters of support, including from organizations such as Goloid, PBA, Freight Committee, and the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. And here are some quotes that we pulled out for you. So just to go very briefly, we went through this in June 13, so we don't have to spend too much time on this. But just to remind you, Chapter 2 is about new parking management districts, the process for it. And it is here that we have some amendments, some language that introduced working with Commissioner Salzman and particularly Commissioner Fritz. So we wanted to highlight this during the presentation that we have two whereases on second page of the first of the resolution that basically about the composition of the work group or a parking committee for the setting of new parking management districts. The resolution reads, it should include 10 stakeholders consisting of 3 business owners, 5 residents, 2 employees of the proposed parking management district who live outside of the area. The list has been expanded. That is a concern. Make sure that we have a more inclusive, equitable process and because these areas can affect many people. And the second one is to add language that we should consider the equity implications of the changes to the parking system in the parking management districts. And we appreciate the comments, and we certainly we will incorporate them into the final parking manual that will be published if it's adopted by council. And I believe there's an amendment to do that, right? Okay. On Chapter 3, time limits, again, just we want to provide some certainty to our folks that work in our parking operations, but also the public. There's a standardized process, and we'll work through the problems as we tackle commercial districts, and we can also customize times to meet people's particular needs. And then finally, Chapter 6 is about truck loading. We have 44 signs very difficult to manage, very hard to read. You park in one, you don't realize exactly what you're parking. So you need to be very careful reading these. So now we've standardized them, and I think that's gotten their support, the Portland Freight Committee.
These are the five?
I think these are the fives, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
From 44.
So that was quickly, but that's basically the meat of the resolution that adopts those chapters. Now I'll explain, unless you have questions, I'll move on as to what makes up the ordinance. So basically, I'll go back actually talking about chapters 4 and 5 of the manual. So those require changes to TRN 3.102. These are ordinances. So in 3.102 was adopted in 1996. It's a lengthy policy that has two key components. We're only changing one, so therefore we need to create a new ordinance that will maintain the language word for word for the other element of the policy that we're not addressing today. So basically, TRN 3.102 talks about parking meter revenue allocation, what to do with the funds. That is the part in which we're not changing today. And the new ordinance, we're changing the parking meter setting part of the ordinance. So to do that, the city attorney's office and auditor's office recommended that we do it this way. Basically, TRN 3.102 goes away. It gets replaced with one with the no changes, word for word, for the parking meter revenue allocation policy, and then another ordinance that adopts a new way to set meter rates in the city for events and for general day-to-day operations. So any questions on that? Okay. Thank you. So I think I covered that, the mystery of this. It was a bit complex for us to understand, so hopefully we can understand. It translates to the public as well. So now is the one that adopts a new parking and event district policy, Chapter 4 and Chapter 5. These are based on performance-based parking management. What is that? It's a data-driven, clear, and transparent way of managing parking. It relies on performance metrics that are simple to read and act on. It maximizes customer experience and efficiency of the parking system, following supply and following demand. It's not driven by revenue. However, it's in the areas that have been implemented. Our sister cities in San Francisco, Vancouver, BC, and Seattle have shown no net loss in revenue. It's just a better way to manage. Price goes up, rates go up where it needs to be, and goes down where it doesn't need to be, and things come out roughly net neutral. It improves the reliability of the transportation system and overall livability. People are not cruising looking for parking, adding congestion, taking road space for transit and walking and bicycling, and includes industry best practices for parking management, which we'll go over in a little bit. So to do this, the guidelines that need to happen are listed below, and we'll walk you through some examples. Performance-based parking sets a target. In this case, we want to reach occupancy, meaning the number of parking spaces on a curb, to reach between 65 and 85 during the peak period. 85 is about leaving one space available, you know, on average. So if you're late, going to the dentist or whatever, you'll find parking pretty much where you need to go on average. And also we don't want it to dip below 65 because then we have half a curb empty. You know, there are better uses of the right-of-way. So you want to make sure we're getting good use of the curb when it is for parking. So to do that, we'll change the rates. I'll go through an example. We are proposing a predetermined rate range. So it will not go below $1, which is the cost of running the system, and not beyond $5 an hour. If we ever need to change that, we'll have to, you know, inflation many years from now, whatever. We'll come back to council to adjust that rate. Thirdly, the council can recommend no change because, you know, demand has not changed so much. Or adjust up and down in increments of 20 cents, 40 cents, or 60 cents. That's the maximum that can be changed in 1 year, 60 cents, based on data. And the final rates are approved by council. They will be coming through the yearly adoption of the budget in the fee schedule process. And finally, enforcement hours, you know, determines how when the meter starts running. That would also be a decision that it is today for council to decide if we need to extend it or so forth. So that's the parameter.
So how will a driver know what the price is? Will the price be the same throughout a whole district?
Likely not. Today we have a downtown of $2. It is likely, and I think I'm going to have a graphic that will explain that based on what we have now, a proxy, okay, things will begin to divert a little bit. So, but starting as an example, going again, PBAC will collect data and recommend. You know, the Bureau Director will recommend to the Council a change or not change. Again, City Council will consider the recommendation and would adopt it. We can do no rate change, increase or decrease. So as an example, what we have now, is you have on the y-axis measure occupancy. So we have a band, 65% and 85%. Within that range, we will recommend no rate change. Above that, we will recommend a rate increase. Below that, we will recommend a rate decrease. Is it 20 cents, 40 cents, or 60 cents? It would depend how far we are from this band. So as an example, today, the whole downtown from the Pearl to South Waterfront is $2 an hour. It could be that it is fine next year when we do the analysis and we bring you something, or it could be that some areas or the whole area needs to go up or down. So it would be in increments of 20 cents. It could be up to 60. So in this case, it would be if occupancy was 95, we're probably recommending something like 260. You know, this is an example, but it's, you know, this is how we see it working. As well as you can see, range. It will not dip below 1, and it will go beyond $5. Dollars.
So I understand that.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, now there's places in downtown that are easier to park than others. So presumably,
yes,
in the areas where it's harder to park, you'll put the price up, correct?
Yeah. So here I'm jumping to this example. This is what we have is a proxy. You know, we're using the electric parking stations that we have. We can collect number of transactions. That is a proxy today, as an example for council, of what may happen. Areas in red, lots of activity. We're likely seeing that there, you know, high demand. The rate may go up. But if you see in the central east side, in the North Pearl, South Waterfront, we're not seeing the same level of activity. The rates may go down. In this case, in this existing district, we would be recommending some different rates depending on what the market is telling us.
Right, but looking at the waterfront, where there's a blue dot next to a red dot, how are you going to let the driver know that if you just go on to the next block, it's going to be less money?
We would set up logical, you know, within the market. We don't have the ability to set block by block things. We will determine,
But there's always going to be an edge to whatever block you use. So how will the driver know if you just park on the other side of the street,
yeah,
it's going to cost you less?
I think I can defer to Melissa. Other cities have done that. They have the ability to campaign of information that the rate is changing, and this is the rate. Also, it gets posted in the right of way and in the stations themselves, and also online in Parking Kitty. You know, that would alert people what the price is. It could be it's advantageous for some folks in which if you know where you want to go, you may want to choose to park a little bit off to take care of the lower right or and so forth. So
clearly this is going to be hopefully addressed in my amendments that are looking at equity, because some people just can't afford to pay more, so that they may be willing to walk a little further in order to be able to pay less. So one suggestion that I have,
yeah,
currently in the stadium district, there's a marker right on the meter that says stadium district rates may be in effect. And yes, it's on the meter as well, but before you even pull up to park, there's a little sign that,
yeah,
says you are. And so if you don't want to pay the stadium rate, you keep going until you don't see those little signs.
Yeah.
So maybe that's something that you could look at putting in. This is a, you know, zone,
yes,
A, zone B, zone X.
Because
you don't want to have to park. You go to the meeting, you know, blooming heck, I don't have that much money, so I'm going to have to
correct.
Go back
today
again.
You have no choice. It's $2 or wherever you go. In the future, do you have options? You'll be able to, in a way, shop around within, if you're doing trip change to
right,
two, three places,
to
you want
to
go.
It clear, yeah, to somebody who doesn't,
yeah,
have a smartphone.
Yeah, yeah,
so
certainly.
You cannot rely on the parking kitty.
Yeah, we'll rely on signage and other information, websites, and other ways to clearly communicate that. That's one of the things that we've been hearing. Some people want certainty. They want to know where they're going, what their rate would be, and that there would be a parking space and so forth. Yeah.
Well, we don't want people to have to be consulting their smartphone while they're,
yeah,
driving,
no.
to be able to find the right,
yeah,
parking
signage
spot.
Could be clear, and you can see it as you're driving what you're buying into, what their rate will be. We haven't done it, but other cities, Seattle, again, Vancouver, and San Francisco have done this, and we can certainly, that's the intention of where we're headed.
Those cities are known as places that people with low incomes have a hard time getting around and parking. So
that's
one of my concerns.
Yes, well, very well taken. We'll do. I think I need to go back a little bit. So that would be the recommendation. Also, as we collect data, we will publish it. Here's an example from Seattle, you know, Ballard Core District, what the occupancy has been through the years and what the likely recommendation is going to be based on data. So PBA would publish a report that once we collect data, folks will understand. You know, again, we're trying to come up with clear, transparent way of managing parking and driven by data, so a report will be available for folks to understand what the parking demands are in a certain district or a certain meter district. So we went through this. Another thing to note is that PBA receives a few comments on that the rates are too high, but we hear a lot about having trouble finding on-street parking. You know, that's particularly time-sensitive activities such as going to work, punching the clock, as well as going to dentists and so forth. For the information also on who uses public parking and the equity concerns that the commissioner was raising, the parking that we're talking about is largely for short-term uses. That's been a practice throughout, actually, the world, but Portland since the 40s, to encourage turnover. That encourages the best use of parking. So it's basically we usually sign up for 4 hours or less, often in the downtown, 1-2 hours, you know, sometimes 30 minutes. That encourages the turnover. So we did an analysis during the increase in 2016, who comes and parks in our system, and what is the trip purpose. 25% was to work. Mostly it is to shop, tourism, meetings, so forth, which is consistent with what we expected, but also with policy. However, we chose 4 to 7 because that's the area in which if you have a night shift, you're likely to park for 2-3 hours, and then you can get free parking after that. So this is likely to be on the higher end of how many people come to work and park. Still only about 25%. And within that, we had another question. How many are actually service workers, which you can say as a proxy for low income? It was a third of that. So basically, it would be a 6% of the total of the parkers here in the downtown area are service workers. Everybody else has another job or another trip purpose. So just to understand who we are likely to affect positively or negatively, depending on the rate. Also, PBA has two programs using Smart Park to help people with low income. And we can go into more detail as you need to, but they are great programs in my opinion. I'm not in parking ops. I can be a little bit more impartial. So that's how we are addressing. But again, the rates may go up, the rates may go down. So, and that's the recommendation. Now, moving forward on events district, same process, except that there's a criteria for when do we set districts. It's for in events that are likely to generate 10,000 trips or more. That only includes Providence Park today, which has an existing district, the Rose Quarter and the Convention Center. The same mechanics would apply with adjust rates based on data, in this case to incentivize the use of alternative modes, and also the predetermined rate. Council would have the final authority, and enforcement hours would also be up for council to decide. And so far, we have a good reception. We went too far. I apologize. We have good feedback from the Convention Center and Rose Quarter folks that this is something that meets their needs and is likely to work if we ever get to initiate a conversation to initiate a new event with them, event district with them. So again, just to be very clear, PBA collects the data and recommends a rate. City Council has the final authority. In this case, the range is different, 3 to 10, and the rates is more like $1. That's how we operate it today. So,
and what's the process for deciding where those event district boundaries are? The convention center and
the criteria for 10. It was 10,000 trips. You know, maybe.
But where's the boundary of that?
Oh,
that would also follow. That would also follow the same how we would form a parking management district. That language with the committee forming, so it would be
would
working.
That come to council?
Yes, everything would come before council.
So all those parking districts come to council?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's governed by code. We have to bring everything to council.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's pretty much it. And sorry that some of these policies are in different places. So in this case, that's Title 16 that determines parking meters. So it will come to council as well. So that's basically to summarize what's in the parking manual. And again, a one resolution and two ordinances for the legal mechanics that we had to go through. Thank you. Any questions?
Could I ask just one question? So a ghost from my past is coming out. It's the price elasticity of demand. And you said that it's 20 cents, or it is 40 cents, or it is 60 cents. How did you pick the 20-cent increments being up to 60 cents, number one? And number two, how do you know that it impacts demand? Or are you basing this on pricing surveys or studies of some sort?
Yeah.
The 20, 40, and 60 cent are recommended by the Stakeholder Advisory Committee. That is what they arrived at as what they felt would have an impact on.
Based on what?
Based on what they felt was reasonable. It was based on data. We looked at Seattle. We looked at San Francisco. We looked at how they were doing rates. Any kind of an increase does have an impact on human behavior. Any kind of a decrease has an impact on behavior. And we can provide a lot of detailed information on that if you'd like to see about price elasticity. We did it when we did the last meter rate
increase.
I'm
a huge fan of executive summaries. I just like to know if there's some basis.
So we had done a lot of data collection on price elasticity when we did the last meter rate increase. And
okay.
So some of it's based on that information.
So if I recall, in 2016, when we recommended 60 cents, we thought that would be what would get us to, move the needle. At this point, so it's a combination of data. We think that 60 cents should be okay, and doing it enough, over time, maybe it takes a couple of years to adjust. So we're balancing trying to get the rate right, but also not to surprise people too much, not to introduce too much change at once. So it's a compromise, again, driven with council having the final authority so people can react to the information. We're presenting the data. We're presenting to the best of our ability, 20, 40, 60. But at the end of the day, you will have the decision, but also we allow people to hear.
I appreciate that. But when it comes back to council, I really want it to be pegged to actual data as opposed to people coming in expressing feelings, emotions, anecdotal stories about the last time they went shopping or whatever.
Correct. And that's what this whole process is for. So it does tie everything to data.
Excellent. Fabulous. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
With our annual data collection that will help inform it.
Cool. And is the parking kitty giving you more data than you had before?
Absolutely. As of last week, one in four transactions in the city are parking kitty transactions. So we're at 25% adoption out of 38,000 transactions a day.
Impressive. Okay, good. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. And with parking kitty, you still are limited to the 2 hours in a spot. Is that correct?
Correct. The parking rules have not changed. It's just a different way to pay.
So you can't, at the end of your 2 hours, pay with your phone and get another 2 hours?
If you're in a time limit zone that you haven't paid. So if you're in a two-hour spot and you've paid 2 hours, no. But if you're in a four-hour spot and you pay 2 hours, you can extend up to the 4 hours.
But the kitty won't let you just keep plugging it?
Only to what's allowed on the curb.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Shall I move my amendments?
Yep.
And colleagues, I apologize for not getting to these to you earlier. Commissioner Saltzman's office and mine were still working on them right up until the deadline here. So, again, I apologize for getting you. So, amendment to the resolution 805 to start with. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the City of Portland directs the Bureau of Transportation to amend the parking management manual to reflect the language in this resolution, including a review of the equity implications and procedures to ensure equity in the establishment and implementation of parking districts. And then the second would be it further resolved that the City of Portland adopts the parking manual subject to the amendments directed above.
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Fritz and a second from Commissioner Udaly. We'll call
Thank
it
you.
Fritz number one.
And then number two, which is on the other side, is the amendment to the Ordinance 807. The directions would read, now therefore the Council directs the Bureau of Transportation to conduct a review of the parking management manual in consultation with the Bureau's equity team to recommend any changes necessary to advance equity in the event district parking management programs. Actually, that should just say district management parking program, sorry, not event district. and setting parking meter rates.
A motion from Commissioner Fritz, a second from Commissioner Saltzman. That's Fritz number two.
And I don't
just to
have
be clear, you removed the word of that, correct?
Right.
Okay, good.
Sorry about that. And I don't have this in there, but I would like to just request staff and the commissioner in charge and the mayor that the council would get copies with strike-through underline mm-hmm. of the revised parking manual so that we can assess. Because I still, as you know, do still have concerns about how people who don't live and own property in a district are going to, their needs are going to be considered when we're setting up these districts.
I have a question. I'm sorry if I missed this because I had to step out for a few minutes, but who is currently authorized in the community to initiate a PMM process? Does it have to be a neighborhood association or could it be some other interest group?
Right now, we don't have a process. So we get this helps establish guidelines on how we would be able to get a process going. We have 5 meter districts. They've all been formed in different ways.
Okay.
But then this establishes how we would do a parking management district, and that would be the committee that we are including people from everywhere.
I think the rest of my questions will receive a similar answer. I'm just concerned, I guess, about community engagement and how we're reaching the whole community and not just a small subset of particularly interested parties that might be making decisions that would adversely affect others, and also have some equity concerns similar to Commissioner Fritz.
So what does the manual say as to who gets to ask for it under your new proposal?
Anyone can ask. We get calls all the time.
Again, the district, there's a parking problem in a area. They get together, you know, along the lines are in this amendment, you know. And they come to us, and we work with them, and we set our series of recommendations. More likely, they don't have impacts on pricing. They're not talking about meter rates.
Yeah.
One avenue would be that the area needs one, in which case we would take that path with that committee. But then that sets us into a path in which it comes to council.
I appreciate you asking this question. No. So any 10 people with no process in the community can get together and say, we have 5 business people, 3 residents, whatever it is, and then you go ahead and start going on it?
No, we just talk to people first, and then we'll do data collection. And then we don't really have a process right now. We just talk to people a lot every day.
It probably is usually neighborhood associations and business associations, though, that are coming to you with these.
And we have just individuals who are frustrated with their parking situations.
Okay.
I mean, we take calls all day long. We have multiple stakeholder groups.
So any 10 people, as long as they represent the groups in there, can push this whole thing into motion and you go ahead and...
No, we don't do anything now. It's a... How can I phrase this conversation?
Well, the parking manual, we want to manage the system as best as we can in a certain area. What the manual says is we will have a public review process with a committee to tackle some of these, how to proceed and how to address parking operations in a certain area. And we have the manual specifies time limits, loading, and so forth. So it is it's a mechanism to work with the public to address concerns at a local scale.
But Commissioner Udo's question is the good one. Who, any 10 people in a given area can get this whole thing going without, even if everybody else in the area doesn't agree with it?
Where's the 10 people coming from?
They've got a committee. They've got to have 10 people on the committee.
Oh.
But who decides, yes, we as an area want...
Well, these are voted on by...
Yes.
But you could spend an awful lot of time with 10 people... going through all of this, and
that's
then
not quite what we do. It's more complicated than that. It depends on the parking issue. So we get asked about residential parking. We get asked about commercial corridor parking. We have different ways of addressing parking demand and parking needs and managing those needs. So if we have a business call us wanting time limits in front of their business, we work with them. If they want a truck loading zone, we work with them. But we don't really form committees ad hoc to just talk about parking. It It's not quite how we do it.
But supposing I believe there's a problem with parking at a particular commercial area in my neighborhood. So I get I get five business owners and three residents and two people from out who work there. And we come to you and we say, we want a parking district. How do you decide whether or not to start this whole thing in motion?
We start with data collection and to learn what the parking issue is. And then we talk about different tools that we currently have and how we can address it. But there isn't a specific formal committee. That we don't have rules for that right now. That's what the Parking Management District Committee guidelines are for.
But the decision to form a district ultimately is in the hands of the residents.
Well, it's actually in the hands of council.
Well, that's true.
For meter districts.
But we do ask...
For any district.
Yeah, for meters. We ask residents and business owners.
Typically, several of our meter districts have come about because of transportation and parking plans. Like Northwest took 20 years to form. Central Eastside is completely different. Go Lloyd is completely different. So every district has been formed differently, and that's we don't necessarily have a lot of conversations with the community about forming another district. That's not what we typically have conversations about. It's a specific thing in front of their house or a specific thing in front of their business.
Sorry, Commissioner, I interrupted you.
Oh, no. I was done. I just wanted to lay out a couple of my concerns. And it sounds like those are the concerns that are going to be addressed. So.
Very good. Public testimony.
Yes, we have one person signed up, Terry Parker.
All right. Thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Parker.
Good afternoon.
It's just you today.
Just me today.
All right.
There are other people in here, too.
Good, I get 3 minutes then, right?
There you go. It's all yours.
Okay. My name's Terry Parker, and based on your last comments, I'm a vintage Portlander.
Very good. Excellent.
Us, too.
Do you remember the fuel shortage of the 1970s? That was manipulation by big oil. How about Enron and how they manipulated the power grid to increase electricity rates? Now we have PBOT, the city of Portland, artificially creating congestion with road diets, along with instigating a parking shortage by not requiring adequate off-street parking with new development. Converting on-street parking to bike lanes expands the shortage. And now the ploy, charging residents for on-street parking due to a shortage instigated by the city. Per TriMet's latest survey, congestion, road maintenance, and the need to increase motor vehicle capacity was among the top priorities not directly related to transit. Where's the government support? Even though the city has a huge fleet of passenger vehicles that are commonly driven as single occupancy vehicles, or in the case of elected officials, chauffeured, over the last couple of decades, both PBOT and Metro have developed an exceedingly evident car-hater mindset. Portland now has a street and highway system that is deficient of motor vehicle capacity. Instead of making more room for cars to accommodate unrestrained population growth and supporting nearly 10% of the jobs that are tied to the automobile, the city has been tinkering with social engineering and attempting to discriminately dictate how people travel. All combined, it is creating more mass congestion and parking issues. Making use of gas tax dollars from the Federal Highway Trust Fund, it is the people that drive in this artificially contrived congestion that pay the largest chunk of funding for mass transit. Transit fares barely cover 25% of the operation costs. Likewise, it is the people that drive and pay gas tax dollars, which also fund the privilege of having a specialized bicycle infrastructure that bicyclists utilize while paying no user fees. You can't help but notice it is always those same freeloaders that show up to support charging drivers even more. Due to creating the most demand and to establish equity, if curb space is treated as a commodity and a permit system is expanded or adopted, any residents without off-street parking must be charged significantly higher fees than those that have driveways or off-street parking. Equity and justice would also require value pricing be assessed on bicyclists, where bike lanes occupy curb space has reduced or eliminated parking. Likewise, transit riders must be assessed when bus lanes or transit stops occupy the curb space and reduce or eliminate parking. Whereas motorists already pay for the streets curb-to-curb with gas taxes and other motor vehicle fees, curb space should not be privatized or treated as a fee-based commodity space for parking. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Colleagues, any further questions before we take up the votes on the resolution and the amendment?
I don't have a question, but I just want to thank the staff for providing us with the written documentation, because it's actually the business district that has to initiate it first. Is that correct? Seeing nods. And then you set up the committee. So this is specifically related to businesses. I'm sorry, I forgot about that. It's been a while since the previous hearing.
Yeah, okay.
Very good. So we'll take up first Fritz Amendment Number 1, which is germane to Resolution 805. Carla, please call the roll.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The amendment's adopted. Please call the roll on the resolution as adopted.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Well, thank you, Commissioner Saltzman, for all of your work on this. This is a obviously, it's a work in progress, and it's something that can be changed. And so I will have to say that as I go around Portland, certainly people are very concerned about people who are living outside and various other kind of issues like that. But it's parking that when anybody brings that up, that people get absolutely irate about, particularly about new apartments and other homes being built without parking, which puts a lot of pressure on the public realm, so that the private sector is not paying their fair share. And I'm concerned about we're having to do a lot of management of the public right away, because there's spillover from not providing it in other places. And this, hopefully, we'll start to address that. So thank you very much for all of your work on it. Aye.
Wheeler.
Good work. I vote aye. The resolution is adopted as amended. Any further discussion on 806?
I just want to add, I have had some conversations with Commissioner Fish, who unfortunately is not able to be here today, with his staff. And so I just wanted to put a couple of issues on that previous item on the record, so that you can think about it as you move forward. And those are to look at specific types of parking, including for quick pickup areas with 15-minute or 30-minute parking. I think that's important. Looking at parking for construction, parking management during construction, which obviously is not the parking district, but that is something that comes into play, especially with all of the construction that's happening in the business districts. And then the loading zones, yes, we're making some improvements on the signage and making them more simple. We've had some controversy around director park, that park staff get ticketed even though they are loading and unloading. They're not counted as the kind of commercial vehicles that are allowed in the loading unloading zones. So people who have big equipment, like musicians, can't use them because they're not commercially loading or unloading. And I do think, again, as we're looking at finding places for people who need it, that those are things that Commissioner Fish and I would like you to look at. Thank you.
Very good. This is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading, and that would be on August 2nd.
Mayor, may I make some remarks? I didn't realize this is a first reading.
Very good.
I just want to say that you know, I appreciate all the work that's been done by all the stakeholders and by PBOT staff, and you may or may not thank me for this at some future point in time, but earlier iterations did have a lot of discretion to PBOT in terms of making decisions about how to change the parking rates under the foreign space process and things like that. And I was very insistent that those decisions be made by the City Council. So you may or may not thank me at some future point in time for that. But I do feel it's important because, as Commissioner Fritz just said, this is an issue that all Portlanders get excited about. So I think it's important to keep the ultimate authority in the hands of the City Council. But I do appreciate all the work and the behavioral analysis that's gone into this work, and the notion that, you know, people need to be able to find a parking space when they want to shop or work or recreate in the downtown or in the central city. So thank you for this, allowing me to make those remarks.
Very good. We'll take up the amendment Fritz number 2, germane to Ordinance 807. Please call the roll.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Saltzman, for agreeing to this amendment and my colleagues for the support on that. Thank you for making the change on keeping the buck stopping here, literally, with the City Council. I think I would not have voted for it without that. Also, thank you for removing the clause that said it's binding city policy in the resolution. I think it's important for this manual to be a work in progress and to be amended with due input from the community and the council. So while we definitely expect it to be used, it's important to allow that flexibility. Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The amendment is adopted. This is the first reading of the non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading on Thursday, August 2nd, as amended. And we are adjourned. Thank you, everyone. Okay.